You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Thursday afternoon. Brett and Eric in for the show. Eric, how you doing in there?
I'm doing well.
Glad to have you with us. We were supposed to have a special guest on for today. It's actually going to be a little bit of a modified version of our solution show, which we've done for the past few weeks. I'm trying to get to the point of doing this every Tuesday, but this week I had to switch things up a little bit, so we're doing it on a Thursday, but we should be back to our usual Tuesday next week. And to add insult to injury, I don't have any special guest for this week's show. So, Eric, I guess that makes you the special guest.
Yeah, I'll get my solutions working.
All right, sounds good. So,
Start brainstorming
some ideas. I have some solutions I'm really excited to share, including I have a solution to gerrymandering. Gregory Rich, who was on the program a few weeks ago, had his solution to gerrymandering, which included using computerized and computer-drawn districts. But I think I have an even better idea that will actually give everyone better representation at the U.S. House and, well, even at the state legislature. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes, and we'll take your phone calls as well. You can propose a solution to any political issue, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. But you're aware of those rules on the solution show. If you call in, you need a solution to any political problem that you bring up. But before we get to our solution show, do have to get to a couple of pieces of breaking news. And, well, the first two are good news pieces, and the third one, well, not so good news. Let's start off with the good news, though. The first one is September 12th, the Democratic debate. We are going to be having a debate watching party here at AM 950. It's going to be over at the Park Tavern. We're still working on getting tickets available to order, but very excited that we are going to be having that debate watching party coming up on Thursday, September 12th. It looks like for now there's going to be just one debate, although chances are I think they're probably going to have to go to a second. I think they're already at 9 qualified candidates. Or I don't know if you know off the top of your head, Eric, did Andrew Yang already qualify as the 10th candidate? Or
I don't know for sure. I know he was close.
Yeah, he was pretty close, and I think there's a few others. So I'm guessing they're probably going to have maybe 12, 13 candidates, in which case they would divide it up into two nights. And as I've said previously on shows, the perfect number of candidates we could get for the debates would be like 12, because then we could actually get 2 6-person debates rather than these massive 10-person debates where everyone has to raise their hand and come in with their quick little zinger. Where if we get, you know, a nice 5 or 6-person debate, I think that makes things run a lot smoother. But anyways, whoever is going to be debating on Thursday, the 12th of September, we will be having a debate watching party here at AM 950. We'll have more details on the location. I believe it's going to be at the Park Tavern, but we're still working out final details, including ways you can order tickets. So follow along on am950radio.com. And of course, we'll announce that here on the airwaves. So that's our first piece of good news. Let's go to our second piece of good news. Well, depending on how you look at this. Apparently, the rumors are that at the state fair, Jason Lewis is set to announce his candidacy for the U.S. Senate. And I say run, Jason, run, because I don't think he has any chance whatsoever in a statewide race. He used to be your representative down there in Lakeville, and yeah. You have to imagine he doesn't have much of a chance in a statewide race.
No, I was curious if you're going to use this as one of the good newses.
It is.
Because I don't see him possibly winning.
No, not against Tina Smith, who was already reelected by a pretty wide margin, and Karen Housley wasn't exactly a good candidate, but I think she would be a stronger opponent than Jason Lewis. So good luck there, Jason. I think he'll be lucky if he pulls in maybe 42% of the vote in that election. I think there's a good chance Tina Smith might get up there near 60%. So that's our second piece of good news. Now, of course, we got to get to our third piece of news, and this is, of course, not so good. And we're going to do this before we get to the solutions part of our show. And that is, well, you probably heard that Ilhan Omar is banned from going to the state of Israel. Donald Trump sent out a tweet encouraging the Israeli government to do that. And, well, they capitulated and did exactly what Trump wanted. They will not allow her or Rashid Tlaib to enter the state of Israel. Just a few comments on that. I'd be okay with that if they were also to ban other representatives who have had anti-Semitic statements. And by the way, Omar at least apologized for some of the statements she made. These guys did not. And, well, Israeli government and Donald Trump saying nothing about, well, Kevin McCarthy and his fundraising email that was saying that three billionaire Democrats, who all happen to be Jewish, bought the election in 2018. Or, of course, we got Louis Gohmert, who made some comments about George Soros, basically saying he was against Israel and was a fake Jewish person. We got Matt Gaetz. I still forgot about this one back during the State of the Union, where he actually invited a Holocaust denier as his special guest to the State of the Union. Still silence about him. And then Steve King, well, there's endless examples with Steve King, but I think the most glaring anti-Semitic example would be when he retweeted a known neo-Nazi. So all I'm going to say about that, if you're going to hold that standard to our congresspeople saying they can't enter Israel because they're supposedly anti-Semitic, which I don't think is really the case for Omarville, then you should at least hold that standard to other representatives as well. So, all right, that's all the good news, bad news we're doing. Let's get to the solutions part of our show, because I'm excited about this one right here. Gerrymandering, been an issue for the past 8 years, especially after the 2010 midterm elections, and I think I have a solution to this here, Eric. And mine's a little unique, because I've heard people talking about, well, we could use computerized districts, we could expand the House of Representatives, all sorts of ideas, we could go with a parliamentary system that like they have in Europe. I've used kind of a hybrid of all of those systems, and I'm kind of excited about this one right here. So here's my idea. I think we keep our 435 congressional districts as they are right now, and they can be gerrymandered all they want, because in the end, it'll kind of be irrelevant, and here's why. So I think we need still 435 congressional districts, but I think each congressional district should actually get 10 representatives per district. Of course, overall, that would mean a very unmanageable size of the House of Representatives, 4,350. Exactly. But here's how actually how it would work. So we would still have 10 representatives per district and at least a voting block of 4,350 members. But here's how it would actually work. Whoever is the top vote getter from the party would actually be what would be called, we'll come up with a name, the district floor member. This is the only person that actually gets to go to Washington, D.C. This is the person that gets to serve on all the committees and do all sorts of that kind of fun stuff. But these other 9 members would still be voting members. They would get to determine who is the House leadership, and they would still get to vote on all of the final House measures. Again, they wouldn't be eligible for any committee assignments, but they would still be part of the final vote. And I really like this solution of 10 representatives per district because, well, let's take a look at, for instance, CD8, which was a very contentious election back in 2018. Right now, it was winner-take-all, even though the Republican representative, which is Pete Stauber, got 50.7% of the vote. But if you were to go with this proportional representation, the GOP got 50.7%, the DFL got 45%, and the Green Party, the Skip Sandman, who is their candidate, got 5% of the vote. So overall, you would end up with 5 Republican representatives coming out of CD8, 4 Democratic representatives coming out of CD8, and then 1 Green Party representative. You would get Skip Sandman in there. I kind of like this idea because it also gives third parties a chance to get in. And the way this would work on the ballot, this is kind of what they've done in other countries. I was looking this up as well. So if you're voting in your election, you would basically get a ballot that would have Democrat, Republican, and then a bunch of third parties. Now, let's say, for instance, in the 3rd congressional district, on the Democratic side, you would get a list of, let's say, 5 people in the 3rd district. So your top guy would be Dean Phillips, then you would list 4 other people. Like, for instance, you could throw in some of the 2018 contenders, an Adam Jennings, a Brian Santamaria, Alicia Donahue, and then Cole Young, who I guess ran in the primary. So the way it would work is that Dean Phillips would be the so-called leader of that Democratic part of the caucus. If the Democrats, of course, get a representative, he would be the first one to go. If they get 20% of the vote, then that second person gets in. In this case, let's pretend it's Adam Jennings. If they get 30%, well, then you get Brian Santamaria. 4th, you get Alicia Donahue. 5th, you get Cole Young. Republicans, it would be the same deal. Like, let's say in 2018, Eric Paulson would be their so-called Republican leader, or maybe call him the captain of the CD3 Republicans, for lack of a better term. Then you would have your second tier, your third tier, your fourth tier, your fifth tier. Had some trouble finding who else to go with besides Eric Paulson, so I had to make up some names. Kendall Qualls, who is running, would be the second person listed on the Republican side. Then you could follow that up with, let's say, Jeff Johnson, I think, lives in CD3, so you could put him on there. David Hahn used to be the Senate Majority Leader in the State Senate, so we can put him as fourth. And then, because he's fun, we'll put Mike Lindell as the fifth Republican candidate. So the way it would work is that if you get 40% of the vote, you get four representatives. If you get 50% of the vote, you get five representatives. Pretty easy to follow. So you end up voting for your congressional representatives proportionately, which I think provides a much better representation, and it kind of undoes gerrymandering as well, because a lot of the reason why gerrymandering is a big problem is that you have these very heavy 80-20 Democratic districts and then a bunch of 60-40 Republican districts. And because they're winner-take-all, Republicans take the majority of these districts because they have a whole bunch of 60-40s, while there's very few 80-20 Democratic districts. Well, if you had proportional representation in these 60-40 districts, all of a sudden you're looking at six Republicans and four Democrats. Well, in these 80-20 districts, you might be looking at eight DFLers and two Republicans. And plus, you also still open up the chance for a possible third party. Like, let's say, well, we're talking about CD8 again. If you get someone getting near 10%, all of a sudden you could possibly get a Green Party representative in. So I kind of like this idea. And again, to keep the House manageable, whichever party gets the most votes gets their representative that gets to go as what's called a floor member. They still have the same voting power as the other nine, but they're the only person that's eligible for committee assignments. So you can still keep your committees manageable. So kind of what I was thinking about in terms of how we could possibly undo gerrymandering. It's a little bit of a hybrid between what we have now and what you see in parliamentary systems over in Europe. Give me a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. But I'm kind of liking this idea. It preserves kind of the best of both systems, the one that we have here in the U.S., and then also some of those parliamentary systems over in Europe. Love to hear your thoughts on this as well. So give us a ring here at AM 950. It's Brett and Hunter, or Brett and Eric. Oh, man, I almost messed up your name there. Ooh, Brett and Eric on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll be right back.
Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rev, blah, 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 right here on AM 950.
Finding a lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know where to start. So start with the Hennepin County Bar Association. They can connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Not sure if you need an attorney or what type of attorney to request? The referral counselors at Hennepin County Bar Association can help. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
As if there isn't enough to love about our great Minnesota State Fair, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is throwing their big Minnesota State Fair sale. You can get an air conditioner for just $2,400 when you buy a high-efficiency furnace. Restrictions apply. Go to standardheatingdeals.com to discover details and more about how you can start enjoying your brand new air conditioner for just $2,400 during Standard's State Fair sale. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, comfort you deserve.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. For your next vehicle purchase, there are many reasons to choose Rudy Luther. First, their top-notch staff from top to bottom is wonderful, friendly, and always ready to help. Another, the Luther Advantage card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Well, we're trying to be a little less curmudgeon-y here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for your Thursday because it's time for our solution show. Normally we do that on Tuesday, but a special edition on your Thursday. And I'm talking about how we can reform the U.S. House because I like this idea of having 10 representatives per district. We leave our same 435 congressional districts the same, but again, each district gets 10 representatives, and they get voted in proportionately. So the way a ballot would look, for instance, just recapping, you would have a Democratic column where you had five candidates, a first tier, a second tier, a third tier, a fourth tier, fifth tier, and so on. And depending on who's on which tier, that could be determined by the individual party. And whoever's the top guy would be the leader of that congressional district's party. It would almost be like voting for president, where you would have your top candidate and then a whole bunch of running mates. Only difference is these running mates would have voting power. So like, for instance, in CD3, Dean Phillips would be the so-called captain or leader of the Democrats in the 3rd district, while on the Republican side, it would be Eric Paulson, followed by some 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th tier, which would probably include like a Mike Lindell on the 5th or the 6th tier. Well, then you could have the Greens getting their own column, and you could have the Libertarian Party getting their own column. And basically, you vote for one of those tickets from the party. And if one party gets 20% of the vote, well, they get two representatives. If you get 30% of the vote, three, and so on and so on and so on. There is a little more math involved in that. Obviously, if someone gets like 36% and another party gets 48%, there would be some math involved in. Well, we're not going to make it math corner here on the Repartee at Solutions show instead, but there's ways you can definitely divvy up how many representatives each party should get. But I like this idea because so often, like, let's even take CD5, for example, which is in 70 or 80% DFL district. Well, if you're a Republican that lives in this district, you basically get no representation. So this solves this because you would get maybe two or three Republican reps. While if you are a Democrat that lives in CD8, even though you lost the election 50 to 45, you basically get no representation of your own views. Again, this system solves it. And to make sure we don't have an absolutely bloated 4,350-person House, the top voting party in each district gets to send one person to Congress that actually gets to sit on the committees and debate on the House floor. The other nine members of their district that were voted in, they just get voting power on the overall final votes, and then they can also elect the leadership of the House of Representatives as well. So what do you think of this idea? 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Got any thoughts on that, Eric? Did that kind of make sense on how that might work? It's a little convoluted, but...
No, I think I followed.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty good idea. It'd definitely improve a lot of the issues people have right now with non-representation. If you belong to a district that is a majority Democrat, Republican, and you're the other party, you see nothing.
Yeah.
And in the same way, it also gives a platform or at least an opportunity to a lot of the third parties or independent views.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, and again, you would just send one person actually to Washington to serve on the committees, and that would be from the party that receives the most amount of votes, whoever that party leader would be. So like in CD3, it would be Dean Phillips. But what I kind of like as well is that he would then be in communication with the other nine representatives, whether they're Republicans, Democrats, or a third party, which kind of also serves as kind of a training ground for future Congress people as well. So when they actually get in, like let's say one day Dean Phillips decides to step down, then potentially whoever the number two person was on the DFL side, they might become the leader of the DFL party. Or let's say there's a new leader on the Republican side that's not Eric Paulson. Let's say it's Kendall Qualls, who is running in 2018. Well, all of a sudden, Republicans win the most votes in CD3. He becomes the party leader and goes to Washington, and he's kind of been trained in being in communication with Dean Phillips, where you can kind of have this synergy of these guys working together. And I also like the idea that it opens the door to third parties as well, where if you get at least near 10%, you could still get representation, and you also get to vote for third party and not feel bad about it, because potentially you could be in a situation where, let's say, in, we'll take CD3 for example again, since it's a relatively even split between Republicans and Democrats. Let's say you have an election where the Democrats gets 40% of the vote, the Republican gets 50% of the vote. Well, then you get a Green Party person who gets 10% of the vote. You would still basically end up with the same divide between liberals and conservatives. Just one of those liberals would actually happen to come from the Green Party.
Now, so, I know it's Solutions Day.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question about an independent candidate,
yeah,
who didn't belong to a party? Let's say they get 20%. How would you?
Yeah, if they elected to be not part of a party at all.
Let's say Bernie Sanders in Vermont or something like that.
He would probably, I imagine, come up with his own political party, maybe Democratic Socialist, because there actually would be viability. But let's take your example to the full thing. Let's say you have someone, I'm not saying he's running for anything, but here's a great example, actually. Richard Painter. Let's say he were to run for Congress. Richard Painter, let's say, doesn't want to be a Republican. He doesn't want to be a Democrat. He doesn't want to be a Libertarian. He doesn't want to be a Green Party member. Yeah, let's say he actually wanted to run as a full-on independent. Different countries have done this different way. I think they actually have a separate column for independent or unaffiliated candidates. Others have done it other ways that I would have to look up. But yeah, there would potentially be some solutions for that very situation if you did have someone that, yeah, wasn't independent and didn't want to be part of any party. Or I guess you
perhaps
could
just give them two votes or something in the,
so, yeah, like let's say you had an independent, like let's say someone who got 22% of the vote in the election and they don't have a second person beyond them. Yeah, then maybe you do give them two votes. It gets a little more complicated. That actually is one of the potential solutions besides the fact that you could put all the independents in one column as well. 952-946-6205. Later on in the show, I'm going to solve the Senate side of the equation. So I think I somewhat solved the House side of the equation. Fun when you can solve political issues in a half hour, right? Because it's that easy. That's how it works.
Why aren't they listening to us?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to solve the Senate side a little bit later on in the show, unless we get a whole bunch of phone calls with your own solutions. But we do have someone who has an idea and wants to solve the issue of lobbying. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis. Hey, Gary, what is your solution for today's show?
Well, I'm talking about something different. Your idea might be okay. I don't know. It's over my head, I think. But you know, public financing. I heard Tommy Eagleton, he was on McGovern's ticket, and they threw him off because he had shock treatment years ago. But he spoke at the Humphrey Institute years ago about campaign financing for public financing of elections. Anyways, that's the problem with our government's okay in itself. It's corrupted by money. And so you'd have the government finances, like when you file your taxes every year or something, it serves them out, everybody would donate for the campaign. And you get that big money out of there, out of the campaigns. And then the television networks have no business getting paid all this commercial. And this, everything's in a commercial straitjacket now.
Oh, absolutely.
Even Bernie Sanders is complaining about the media not talking about the issues that matter, like taxing the rich up the hill like they used to be. They don't even cover that stuff hardly. And Trump, he picks on, but he's a beneficiary of the media. Anyways, but you know, you'd have elections shorter, 6 months, and they all get a fair share of time on the media, and they wouldn't pay for it. And if somebody donates, you have a limit, $50, $100 per person. Mm-hmm. That's it. And then, see, I'm so corrupted. Like, you remember Mitch Bacchus? He's the guy that sued the doctors that wanted Medicare-type single payer when they got Obamacare. They wanted a public option, at least. He threw him out of the Senate chamber. He kept all the lobbyists from the corporate business, insurance and pharmaceuticals in the Senate. I was so angry, and he was a Democrat. And that's why we didn't get a public option, because the Max Baucus was one of the major players. And so that's just money in politics. And they all got jobs lobbying in the insurance industry, him and all his staffers, Max Baucus of Montana. And in another case is that guy in Louisiana, Tozan or whatever, that prescription drug bill. He got $1 million lobby job in the pharmaceutical giants after he passed that corrupt drug markups in our Medicare.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Gary. Yeah, getting money out of politics. Gary got me thinking about something, but I'll just respond to a few of your comments. Yeah, absolutely. You have to get money out of politics and maybe set up some sort of ban where after you've been in government, you can't immediately go lobby. I mean, it goes both ways, Democrats and Republicans. Eric Holder was infamous for doing that, immediately taking a lobbying job immediately after he was done being the attorney general. Well, of course, in the Trump administration, well, the examples are obviously endless, but I want to kind of expand on something what Gary was saying. He wasn't happy about how TV networks take all of this ad revenue from campaigns. And it's interesting because working Iowa radio a number of years ago, that's how they made a ton of money, was just for campaigns. That was kind of their bread and butter. That was where they got in the black, was every 4 years when the presidential candidates would tour the state. But he's kind of right. Something doesn't seem necessarily good about TV stations profiting from getting money from campaigns. So I don't know if there could potentially be a solution
I know that in the UK, the government says if you want to run a media company, you want to use our airwaves in the UK, you have to cede, let's say, an hour to each of these candidates where you're not allowed to air advertising or anything. You just give them a platform and they can explain their platform to the public.
I kind of like that.
If you want CBS, ABC, NBC, they're airing it over national airwaves. Mm-hmm. If you want to operate in this country, you have to give the candidates a certain amount of airtime to explain their platform.
I like that idea better than where I was going. I was coming up with some sort of solution where TV networks would have to give a certain amount of time to each political party where they could run ads and they would make no revenue from that, but I kind of like your idea better, where you just dedicate maybe an hour a week or maybe even an hour a day. Heck, an hour a day actually wouldn't be a bad thing, so people could learn about the issues and it goes to each political party. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that solution right there. So there we go. We've solved money in politics. Man, we're just knocking these out of the park here, Eric.
Yeah, who said politics is hard?
Exactly. I'll tell you what, coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to take a look at the Senate side. We kind of solved the way to get gerrymandering out of the House of Representatives. We'll move on to the Senate side coming up next here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. By the way, you can chime in with your solutions to any topic. It doesn't necessarily have to be what we're talking about. It can be literally anything. So give us a call, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson, and you're listening to Doug, Brent Hunter, and Eric on Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio, and it's hard to believe, but it's already this time of the year, time for the Minnesota State Fair. Food Freedom Radio will be in the Common Table exhibit at the Horticulture Building on Sunday, September 1st from noon to 6, and on Monday, Labor Day from 9 to 2. So please stop by and say hi. Also, the Common Table is looking for volunteers passionate about local foods to help staff the booth. To volunteer, go to commontablemn.org and click on the volunteer and listen to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. autotechnical.org.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 62. Friday, partly cloudy with a high of 79 and a low of 61. Saturday will be sunny with a high of 83 and a low around 65, while Sunday will be partly cloudy with a high of 78 and a low around 63.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Burger Mo's, offering 20 fresh, never-frozen varieties of burgers, as well as delicious apps, soups, salads, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is the perfect gathering spot before or after XL Energy events. Find out more at BurgerMo's.com.
Hey, this is Rick Shiomi from Full Circle Theater Company, and I hope you can join us for Repartee. That's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
And we're back on the Solutions edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Phones got a little crazy there for a second, so feel free to give us a ring with your solution to any possible political topic. I want to get to the Senate side in just a second. I have a way where we can get better Democratic representation in the Senate, and it actually has to do with this thing that's happening in Illinois. I'll kind of tease it right now in saying that there's some Illinois Republican legislatures who want to split off Chicago from the rest of the state and create the state of Chicago and the state of Illinois. There's been similar movements in California and New York where these very rural Republican areas feel like they're getting no representation and they basically want to go and create their own state. My thought is, let them, and I'll explain why in just a few minutes here on the Repartee, but let's go to Mark in Fridley. He has a solution for us today. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
Oh, I'm all full of solutions, but first, breaking news, Jeffrey Epstein's neck.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Oh gosh. A little slow on the uptick there. That was pretty good there, but, well, not good for Jeff Epstein.
Yeah, I guess he had a 6 o'clock chiropractor appointment, and they turned off the cameras, but...
Yeah, they just happened to have the cameras off with these weird security guards in there, too, but nothing to see there, right?
Sure. Well, we'll talk about that at a later date because this is just beginning, and we talked about that before. But your previous segment on the show with that guest, Martin Szabo was the Minnesota 5th District Congressman who every year introduced legislation that CEO salaries be capped in association to a percentage of the lowest paid employee. He could never get that out of committee, mm-hmm. and that's what's wrong. You know, when you're talking about gerrymandering or redistricting, you have to look at that systemically, because if we still don't have voting machines that work, that should be the priority. Mm-hmm. They stole it in 2000, they stole it in 2004, and the machines are still hackable by a fifth or a sixth grader. So we can talk about gerrymandering and, You know, but again, it doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes. But my solution to everything has been something I've been involved with as a national security whistleblower for almost 20 years now. And Mark Dayton knew this because I had several meetings with him, Keith Ellison. I had meetings with Keith Ellison, with Al Franken, with Amy Klobuchar, with Lori Swanson about this. I've even talked with Walter Mondale, because in 1975, in response to the Watergate controversy and the CIA being run as a rogue agency, instigating foreign policy crises over the globe, President Nixon called for the Rockefeller Commission, and it was staffed primarily with the cooperative members of the Warren Commission, and it was a complete whitewash. It was a complete fraud. It was a complete sham. So they reconstituted it as the Church Commission, as in Senator Frank Church, Democrat from Idaho. And I have been advocating for 20 years that we do this, because it involves control of the media by the CIA. It controls the CIA and the FBI spying on American citizens. And I'd just like to read two of the snippets from the report. And it says, and this was the findings of the Church Commission. Now, Walter Mondale, I believe, is possibly one of the last surviving members of the Church Committee. We need to constitute this immediately for the reconstitution of the Constitution. But Frank Church and the committee said, in examining the CIA's past and present use of the U.S. media, the committee finds two reasons for concern. The first is the potential inherent in covert media operations for manipulating or incidentally misleading the American public. The second is the damage to the credibility and independence of a free press, which may be caused by covert relationships with the U.S. journalists and media organizations.
All right, Mark, going to have to leave it there just because I have a bunch of other callers to get to, but some definite good points to bring up there. And what I like what Mark kind of said, we can talk all we want about gerrymandering or reforming the Senate, but it ultimately does, as he said, come down to who counts the votes. And he was citing some examples there where like fifth and sixth graders were able to hack voting machines. I know there was actually proof of that happening in Georgia prior to the 2018 elections. I was trying to Google this as Mark was speaking, as I was kind of listening to him there too, where there was someone at one of the universities, I think it was at Keeneshaw in Georgia, was able to literally hack into one of their actual voting machines, and he was trying to alert the Secretary of State down there saying, hey, I just hacked into your voting machine. I shouldn't be allowed to. And basically there was no response. So, yeah, Mark's kind of going one level beyond even what we're talking about, but that's the more depressing side, isn't it, Eric, to think your voting could actually be hacked and wouldn't count?
It's like what all these fixes and solutions for. If it ends up
it could be completely irrelevant if those votes are being hacked, and we still have no idea what exactly happened in 2016. I'm not going to say that the election was hacked in favor of Republicans in 16, but it'd be nice to at least see an investigation, because I would certainly hope that it would turn up and say, nope, the election was actually valid and there was no hacking. But let's just ask the question and actually conduct an investigation on this. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Still teasing about how I think we should allow these Republicans to split off from states like Illinois, New York, and California, because they don't want to be dominated by those big cities. They want to create their own states again. I say we go ahead and let them, and we'll get to that in just a few more minutes, but do want to run a few more phone calls with some callers who have solutions to all sorts of political issues. Let's go to Lawrence in St. Paul. Hey there, Lawrence, what's on your mind?
Well, just going to dovetail on what Mark said about the, if you don't have voting machine or voting credibility, you're going to lose your democracy. And here's what I propose. I'm in a very safety sensitive job. If I don't do stuff right, people die. So when I have to do my recurrent training and my recurrent test, then I go in and do it all at my little smartphone, all whenever I want. Now, there's only one person on this planet that can complete that test for me, and that's me, because I have to put in my social security number, I have to put in my employee ID number, and several other numbers, all enclosed with 128-bit encryption. So this will totally change the landscape of the United States of America. When it is time to vote, it comes up on your smartphone automatically the day of the vote, just like if we get severe weather, everybody's phone buzzes. When it's time to vote, it comes up. Three choices come up: vote now, don't vote, or vote later. So if you're not inclined to don't vote, just hit vote now, and you will be counted as a person that didn't vote. Now, when you vote now, through your social security number, 128-bit encryption, there's nobody else that can vote for you, and it is immediately counted, and that will solve the problem. It'll change the landscape because you will have poor people voting because everybody has a smartphone. I don't care how poor you are, you got a smartphone. Poor people would vote. It would scare the Republicans because they fear poor people voting. And that's why we should have virtual voting booths on your smartphone.
I think we're eventually going to move in that direction. And as you were talking about, maybe there's some poor people who wouldn't have a smartphone, even though most people do. I mean, you could certainly find alternatives. Here's the one question I would have for you, though. If we use this type of encryption, would that prevent us from possibly having some bad actors with, let's say, the cell phone carriers like a Verizon or AT&T from possibly monkeying around with the elections? What do you think about that possibly happening? That's the only concern I would have, is that you could get some bad actors within the actual cell phone carriers that might be able to interfere with some of that data.
Right. Well, that's unlikely, because the voting is done through instead of worrying about voting machines, now that job is given to the Federal Voting Commission, and they are the ones that are over the encryption. So the encryption works like when you come in, when information comes in, it is encrypted. Now, the person between the information and the encryption has to be a federal employee. And that federal employee, when he logs in, he is tracked. So when information comes in, is encrypted automatically anyway, there's no human intervention once the encryption is set up. There's no human intervention. So you can't hack, you can't go in and, okay, I'm just going to go in and tinker with that. You can't do that. To make it fifth grade hacker proof, the federal government has to have federal employees working at the federal commission who are apt with the 128-bit encryption. Once the coding is set up, there's no way. It's all autonomous because there's no human intervention. And that's how you would stop a hacker.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Lawrence. I think you're on the right track right there. It certainly sounds more secure than the current system we have right now. There's still certainly some holes. The one thing I'd like to add on to maybe what Lawrence is saying, if there was be somehow where you could get like a receipt for who you voted for. So it would be like the equivalent of how in Minnesota we have a paper trail.
Proof of purchase.
Exactly. Yeah. So there could be like some sort of, not necessarily a paper trail, because obviously you're voting with your cell phone, but email is probably not a good option. Texting probably isn't either. It's technology we'll hopefully have within the next like 10 or 20 years, where you could have, as you said, Eric, like a receipt for a proof of who you voted for, in case there is something that appears to be completely wrong with the election. Well, then there's a way to actually recount. It could be like the advanced version of a paper ballot. But I'm sad to say, but I think even with today's technology, Lauren's solution is probably better than what we have now. I mean, just looking at these voting machines, that can very easily be hacked. All you got to do is look at what happened in Georgia in 2018. I believe it was at Kinshaw, I forgot how to pronounce that university. But yeah, they had a student who literally got in, not just like to a dummy machine, but to actually one of the real machines they were going to use in that state. And the Secretary of State, who was a Republican running for governor, did nothing about it.
Yeah, Mark actually called back with I think he knew the instance you were speaking of.
Yeah.
Where someone bought the Diebold voting machines off of eBay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they were able to, you know, backwards engineer, mm-hmm. reverse engineer the system.
Well, I think he did this guy that hacked in. Yeah, he did it to one of those machines, but then he also connected to one of the real machines they were going to use in the election, which is even more scary.
Results.
Yeah. If some guy at a university in Georgia can do that, I'll just imagine if you're a high-ranking IT employee yeah. of some foreign government or even a domestic corporation that maybe wants to see a election go a certain way.
And me and Hunter actually looked it up on one of the shows we did, mm-hmm. and they're still there, used voting machines on eBay.
Wow. That'd be a heck of a thing to have, a used voting machine. Wow. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. How much do those things run for, by the way?
Surprisingly affordable. I think they were about $140.
That's not very much. Wow. Well, call in with your solutions. We'll talk about some other ideas as well up next here on the Repartee with Brett and Eric.
Minnesota, this is David Pakman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, progress on the fight to drive insulin prices down in Minnesota, the new hands-free cell phone law, teen vaping, and a preview of Wiffle Wars 3, a fun annual event bringing local celebrities together for a good cause. Tune us in right here or at MinnesotaNewsNetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
If you're someone that counts on AM 950 to bring you the latest in progressive politics, news, and talk, remember, we can't do it alone. Support our many great advertisers and let them know you heard about their business on AM 950. If you don't know who to talk to, simply write AM 950 on your receipt. AM 950 is supported by small, local businesses, so you're not only helping us and those businesses, but our local economy as well. For a complete list of our sponsors, log on to am950radio.com.
Total Dog is celebrating our 6th birthday, and our valued customers are getting the gifts. On Saturday, August 24th, we'll be giving double frequent Barker card punches on all purchases. Check out our dollar sale, where nothing will be over $10. We'll have instant win drawings on Kong toys. See you at Total Dog on Saturday, August 24th, between 9 and 6. Happy birthday to us! In New Hope, off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North, and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at Victor's1959Cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP. Or check us out online.
Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you're listening to the Repartee. Now, what is Repartee? I don't know. You're going to have to figure it out. It's 4 o'clock. Time to figure it out.
We're back on the Solutions edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, running a little short on time. So here's my abbreviated version on why we should allow these rural areas in like Illinois, New York, and California, typically blue states, split off and form their own states. This is the very abbreviated version. We'll get into it more on Tuesday on our next solution show, but it's this. Like, let's take Illinois, for example, where some legislatures want to divide that up into the state of Chicago and then the state of Illinois. Well, instead, what you do is you divide Chicago into three separate states. Because the reason, Chicago encompasses about 75% of the population of Illinois. And the reason why you do this is that you would then have potentially six Democratic senators, representing three Chicago states. Well, then you could still have your rural red Illinois state, bringing you to just two Republicans, and proportionately in the Senate, that would actually give more power to Democrats, for instance. And Republicans, well, they could still split off and form their own state since they feel they're not getting represented in the state of Illinois. That's the little bit of an abbreviated version. We'll talk more in detail about this on our next solution show on Tuesday, because there's some other reasons why I think this is actually a good idea in terms of providing better representation and also reforming the Senate. So I say if some of these guys want to split off and form their own states in very blue areas like California, Illinois, New York, I say go ahead and let them.
The Senate does not seem like the thing Republicans should be going after there.
Yeah, probably not. Let's go to Randy in St. Cloud. He has a solution. Randy, what do you think?
Well, I'd like to remind you on your Senate fix. They have not legalized marijuana in Minnesota.
Oh, in this state, yes.
I wanted to let you know that. But plus you're also spending a real lot of money if all those people get all the benefits of being in the, you know, for the House of Representatives and the Senate. You're adding a lot of people who, anyway, that's beside the point. When Al Franken and Norm Coleman battled for the Senate back whenever that was. I can't remember exactly what year.
Yeah, 2008, yep.
They were very close, and state law mandated a recount. Well, there's five states, Connecticut and Delaware and Louisiana, I can't remember them all, New Jersey's one, that don't have any paper ballots, and there's 67 counties, three-fourths of the counties in Pennsylvania that don't have any paper ballots. And when you have a close race and it's calling for a recount, how do you do it? My solution is it should be mandatory that everything is paper ballots. I mean, at least you got the paper trail, but even that can be messed with, I know. But you got to do something, and no paper ballots is ridiculous.
I think we're kind of on the same track here, Randy, just kind of in a different direction where going back to Lawrence's solution of having this voting through the smartphone, I would still want some sort of backup similar to paper ballots because, as you said, you need some sort of backup in case something ends up getting tinkered with in those elections. But and thanks so much for the call there, Randy. The one reason I also kind of like what Lawrence was saying is that it would actually increase voter turnout if you could vote from your smartphone. But again, to Randy's point, you do need some sort of backup, whether that's through paper or another form of technology, probably not email or text. So hopefully that's something we can innovate with in the next 10 years or so and make that a reality. Well, that's it for our solutions edition of the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We'll have our next solution show coming up on Tuesday. It's Brett and Eric Wheel. See you tomorrow.